So we were discussing yesterday the obligation of the people in the town to pay for the different services of the town. Most of the obligations kick in after 12 months. As the Mishnah says, person dwells in the town for 12 months. But if a person buys a property, then it kicks in right away, because then it's obvious that he's staying. There are certain obligations, though, as the Gemara asks later on, that depend on 30 days. There are some halachas that depend on 30 days with regards to ir nidachas. If a person is passing through the town and he worships Avodah Zarah together with the rest of the people of the town, so then he becomes included in the town after 30 days. So even though it's not with regards to taxes and services, it's regards to other halachas, like ir nidachas, that kicks in after you become a, you know, part of the town after 30 days. If you're there for 30 days and you worship Avodah Zarah together with the town, you get the halacha of a member of the Ir Nidachas, not like a random person who worships Avodah Zarah, who's, let's say, Beskila, and his property remains intact. He would be part of the Ir Nidachas if he was there for 30 days. He would get Saif, and his property would be prohibited. Similarly, if a person says he's going to take a neder from the people of the city, so then if he's there for 30 days, with regards to certain halachas, he would be prohibited from being benefiting from the people of the city if you took a neder not to benefit from those people of the city. However, the Gemara there draws a distinction between the language that you use. If you use the language of, you know, me'anshei ha'ir, from the citizens of the city, that takes 12 months to become a citizen. With regards to yoshvei ha'ir, those who dwell in the city, that's a resident, that status can be acquired after 30 days. And that's the distinction that the Gemara draws between a yoshvei ha'ir, between those who dwell in the city, versus those who are me'anshei ha'ir, who are citizens of the city. So it takes 12 months to become a member of the city and a citizen, and therefore some of the taxes take 12 months to kick in. However, with regards to other halakas, such as ir nidachas, maybe with regards to a neder v'nisar hana'a, that it depends how you phrase it, might depend on residents of the city, not citizens. And that's particularly true with regards to ir nidachas, where the pasuk says, as Rashi notes, and we mentioned it yesterday, kol yoshvei ha'ir. It depends on the people who are residents of the city, not people who are citizens of the city. So that was a distinction that we drew yesterday. However, we saw yesterday at Machlekes HaRishonim to the Mordechai and Mukai Yosef, what if a person comes to a city having a mind to stick around right away, right? He doesn't have a mind to just pass through, but yet he hasn't acquired citizenship. He's a mind, he hasn't been there 12 months. He has a mind when he initially comes on day one, not to buy a house. He doesn't buy a house, but he has a mind to stick around. That might even be reflected by, you know, a lease that he signs, that he's going to be here for a significant period of time, well beyond 12 months. So does he become chayiv immediately because he's expressed his desire to stick around, or does he have to wait 12 months to become chayiv? So if he buys a property, of course, then he's a citizen of the city right away. But what is a pshat in buying a property? Is it because you bought a property and now a landowner is by definition a member, you know, like a citizen of the city, like a kind of an archaic model, you know, of landowners got to vote and, you know, all those kinds of things. So if you're a landowner, you're a citizen of the city. If you're not a landowner, you know, then it takes more time. There's a waiting period. Or no, a landowner is just because if you own land, you're obviously not going anywhere, you know, too soon. But so therefore, if a person would declare or signal that he plans to stick around, even if he didn't buy a property, he'd become a citizen of the city, mechayvin taxes immediately. That was the machlokes between the Mordechai and the Mukai Yosef. When we saw that Rav Moshe actually took this svara, I believe, of the Mordechai, that it depends on what you have in mind, that took it the opposite way too. Let's say, you know, people are in town, like Bnei Torah. They don't have a mind to stick around, even though they're there for three or four or 5 years. They're only there temporarily as part of the yeshiva. Then Rav Moshe argued, yeah, you're right. Even though they're there for a prolonged period of time, would not be chayvin taxes. So then we have those two, opinions. The Rama actually, I think, quoted the Mordechai. So Rabbi Chanan connected that to a different halacha in the Kavish Shiurim. Rabbi Chanan connected that to the halacha of mezuzah, because the Gemara says Menachas over here on Oisalaf on the sheet, just a review from yesterday. The Gemara says Mesechlis Menachas that when a person buys a house, he's obligated mezuzah right away. If you're renting a house, you're only obligated after 30 days. The big machlokes Rishonim is that the Rais, is that the Rabbanimi because of Marasayan. Either way, you only chayv mezuzah after 30 days. So what if, we mentioned yesterday, one exception to that rule is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, you're chayvin mezuzah right away. We said yesterday, Rashi's pshat. Rashi says, why is Eretz Yisrael different? Because they wanted, the Gemara says, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to encourage you to stay there. And since you can't take off your mezuzahs when you leave, you're supposed to, at least, all things being equal, and the person will pay you for your mezuzahs, and they're not painting in between, you're supposed to leave your mezuzahs there for the next tenant. Since that you were obligated to leave your mezuzahs there, that will encourage you to stick around and will make your apartment more marketable, more desirable, because it comes, you know, pre-packaged with mezuzahs. So they, Midrabanan, instituted that everybody who moves into an apartment or Eretz Yisrael should put up mezuzahs right away. That will kind of put down an anchor and encourage you to stay. That was Rashi's pshat. The Beis Halevi, though, has a kuntras on Hilchos Stam, which is typically printed at the end of his parish on Chumash. Fantastic, fantastic. The Beis Halevi has a lot of Chanukah in his Sefer on Chumash, and then he has some Inyanim Shainim, some random things at the end of his Sefer on Chumash. So one of them is a kuntras on Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah. So there he discusses this halacha that Eretz Yisrael have to put up Mezuzah right away, and he explains it somewhat differently. He says it's because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which makes a lot, you know, more sense, perhaps, than what, I'm not here judging, but a little bit less convoluted than Rashi's pshat, that, once you put mezuzahs, you can't take them down, so you're going to be stuck, because you make the apartment more marketable, blah, blah, blah. The Beis Halevi says, no, something else. Based on the Gemara says this Beitza, the Gemara says, with regards to Truma and Meiser, normally, on regular produce, prior to separating Truma and Meiser, the produce is known as Tevel. Tevel, if a person eats Tevel, Koyein, Levi, Yisrael, all prohibited from eating Tevel, that's untithed produce, and if you eat it, you chayv curries. That's only true, though, right? If it already had Re'iyas Pnei Abayis, if it was already finished in its production stages and came into the house. What do you mean came into the house? That means you brought it into the farm, you took it out of the field, you're done with the collection stage. Then it's chayv in Truma and Meiser. What if, though, prior to collection stage is being completed, you nibble on the produce? People today do that. They go pick strawberries. Inevitably, they're going to nibble on the strawberries when they go pick strawberries. Now, I think it's disgusting because it's full of, forget about the bugs in strawberries, and strawberries need to be washed and soaked and however the process of washing strawberries goes. But even if it's apples, they're sprayed with like pesticides and gross dirt and bugs and disgusting. I don't know, people eat like produce in the supermarket sometimes, you know. It's not a very Jewish thing, but you see, I've seen people like, in the olden days, people used to do it more. Now they're a little bit, especially with masks and everything. People used to be like, give their kids like a box of cookies and eat it in the supermarket to keep them calm. So I guess a box of cookies, whatever, even though the kid just touched the, now we're all germophobes, you know, he just touched the cart, and then he touched his hand, picked his nose, and then he ate the cookies. Disgusting. But anyway, you know, people nibble in the fields. It's really, really a little gross now that we have pesticides and all that. Really should be washed. But Meikra didn't, with regards to at least the Isser of Tevel is concerned, you're allowed to nibble in the fields. The Isser of Tevel only begins after Re'iyas Pnei Abayis. Nibbling while you work, eat while you work, is permitted. You're allowed to do that, there's no Isser Tevel. However, there is one exception to that, and that is, as long as it's not a Kviya Suda, right? You can't have a Kviya, so you can nibble, it can be Achilas Arai, and it can't be on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You know why? Because on Shabbos or Yom Tov, if you can't go out into the fields, of course you can't pick anything. But even if it fell off on its own, you can't eat it because every consumption on Shabbos is a mitzvah of the Karas LeShabbos Oineg, of Oineg Shabbos. And therefore the Gemara says in Masechtas Beitza, Shabbos is Kivas LeMaiser. Shabbos renders every Achilas Arai as an Achilas Keva. It makes it into a meal. So snacking on an apple on Shabbos is not just snacking on an apple. Snacking on an apple becomes a meal because it's a kiyum of Einig Shabbos. So much so, just to make the point, and we don't pasken this way, the Be'er Heitev says, if a person eats this, let's say you eat a piece of cake, right? You make a mezainis and ala mechia. What if you eat like a boatload of cake? You eat a boat, like a whole tray of cake. So then, if it has a kibetza, you have to wash and bench on cake, because cake is pas ha-babikisnan. It is pas, usually not a meal food, usually a snack food. Therefore, you make mezainis and alamecha. If you have stuff that has sugar and other stuff on top of it, like tomato sauce and cheese, and people don't eat it as a snack, they eat it as a meal, well, typically, then that's hamoitzi. That's pas ha-babikisnan, it's true, but it's typically eaten as a meal food, so that becomes Hamoitzi by default. And even if you have one piece, a little piece of bread that has tomato sauce and cheese on top of pizza, if people usually eat that as a meal, then that's a meal food obligated to make hamoitzi on it. But typically cake, right? Or even croissants or other things like that, maybe garlic nuts, are typically eaten as a snack food. If you have a whole ton of them, by definition now, it's a meal. You have to wash and bench. And Shabbos, the Be'er Heitev quotes one opinion, even if you have one piece of cake, you have to wash and bench. You know why? Shabbos koivas. Shabbos makes it into a permanent meal. So usually you have to have a kibbutzah during the week. On Shabbos, it's enough with a kezias because everything on Shabbos takes on a new significance. It becomes like, so just like it's koivas, lemaiser, that if you eat it, even prior to Re'iyas Pnei Abayis, it'll be nisatevo. If you eat it on Shabbos, there'll be al netilas yadayim lemozi. Now, we don't paskin that way, but the Be'er Heitev has a similar svara in Hilchos Sukkah. Of course, on Sukkos, you're allowed to eat an achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. Yeah, of course, we're careful even to drink every drop of water in the sukkah. It's a nice chumrah. But most, even if they're not careful to drink drinks in the sukkah, are careful not to have mezonos outside of the sukkah. But the truth of the matter is, you can have mezonos outside of the sukkah. Don't tell anyone. You can have mezonos outside of the sukkah as long as it's not a meal. By the same token, I think if it is a meal, even though it's fish and rice and potatoes, you should probably eat it in the sukkah. Even though everything is shahakol, or hadamah, you should probably eat it in the sukkah. It's a meal. Even though you don't make a lay shape of sukkah. If you don't make a bracha, our people are like, oh, I'm out. If there's no bracha, like Sfiras HaOmer, if there's no bracha anymore, forget about it, I'm not doing it. But that's wrong. It's wrong by Sfiras HaOmer, it's wrong by sukkah too. You should eat it in the sukkah, even if you can't make a lay shape of sukkah. But on Mezonos, you typically would make a lay shape of sukkah, and there, you actually don't have to have it in the sukkah. It's a nice thing, but you don't have to have it. Comes up when people are traveling. So, but let's say, over here, it's Yom Tov of Sukkos. So everything that you eat on Yom Tov has a unique kvius to it because of the karasal Shabbos Einug Yoklosh Hashem Mechuban. So since everything is a kiyumin Einug Yom Tov or Kavod Yom Tov, so then to have a chutz l'sukkah, even though you're allowed to have an achilas arai, a temporary or non-permanent eating outside of the sukkah snack, if you eat it on Shabbos Yom Tov, maybe it takes on a new significance because it's a mitzvah of Einug Shabbos, and that itself labels it as an achilas Keva and not Achilas Arai, just like we find with regards to Maaser. And maybe that's relevant to Hilchos Brachos. Maybe you should make Al Nechil Sadam and Al Moitzi. Maybe it's relevant to Hilchos Sukkah. You can't even have a snack outside of the Sukkah because everything on Pesach or Sukkos, everything on Sukkos or Shabbos becomes an Achilas Keva. Ramosha actually has a tshuva about this where he adopts this view on Pesach. This comes up on all Yom Tovim in different settings. Because Ramosha has a tshuva. This comes up for people who don't eat kabruks. If you don't eat kabruks, you have a problem. Not only with matzo balls. If you have a problem with a kiddush. So if you don't go to Pesach programs, you're fine. You come home from shul, you make kiddush and have matzah. If you're on a Pesach program, so as you know from being on Shabbatons or programs or whatever, the typical schedule is you daven, 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. You have kiddush, because who can have Shabbos or Yom Tov without kiddush? It's sacrilegious not to have kiddush. Then you stuff yourself a kiddush. There's usually a shiur or something. 1 o'clock or 1:30 is lunch. But in order to make kiddush on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you have to have, as we all know, kiddush b'makom seuda. You have to have a kvius of something. It's sort of a suda. So what do you have to have? You could have matzah. That's great. But no one wants to wash at the kiddush. You want to have the gefilte fish and then whatever they're having. They don't want to wash. So typically on Shabbos, we have cake. We have cookies. We have a mezonos of some other kind. Kichel, if you're eating herring or whatever, whatever kind of shul you're in. Entenmann's, whatever. So you have something that's a mezonos. That's, kiddush b'makom suda. What do you do on Pesach? Pesach, no problem. Have matzah meal cookies or something. Yeah, but that's if you eat matzah meal. If you don't eat matzah meal because you don't eat gebrucks, what are you going to have for your kiddush b'makom suda at your Pesach program that's non-gebrucks? For the last 20 years, I've been going to non-gebrucks Pesach programs. This is one of the hot topics. What are we going to do at the 12 o'clock kiddush where everyone is starving like they've never seen food before? We can't wait till 1:30 lunch. What are we going to do for kiddush b'makom suda? So everyone knows the shittas hagoyinim. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, which is you can have a full cup of wine. You make an alamichya on wine. So just drink the whole case of grape juice. You can do that. Some hold it has to be a separate cup. The first cup was for kiddush. Because otherwise they ask on the Goyinim, well then every kiddush is by definition a kiddush b'makom suda, because every kiddush is made on a case of wine. So if you can be yoytze kiddush b'makom suda with a case of wine, then every kiddush is by definition a kiddush b'makom suda, because every kiddush you can have the case of wine. The answer is no. For kiddush you only have to drink a maloy lugmov, which is a rav revius. Okay, one cheekful. For kiddush makom suda, you have to drink enough to make an alamichya. Okay, so you have to, an alagefen. So you have to drink even more. So if you drink the full cup, or the Mishnah Berurah quotes some, you have to drink a second cup. So then you can be yodesh kiddush makom suda that way. But Ramosha claims, and it's a famous or infamous tshuva from Ramosha. Ramosha is a kula here. Ramosha says, no, no, no. Every achila on Shabbos or Yontif is kiddush u'makom suda. You don't need the Shulchan Aruch calls the gainim that you need mezainus or a cup of wine. Zakt Rav Moshe, no. Rav Moshe says you don't need if you have salad, that's kiddush u'makom suda. If you have anything, that's kiddush u'makom suda. Because even though salad is normally not a makom suda, it's not a kviyas at all. It's not possible b'kisnin. But on Shabbos or Yontif, it takes on an additional significance. Every achila becomes an achila chashuva. So everything becomes kiddush v'makom suda. So Meshach holds, you have your gefilte fish. That's kiddush v'makom suda. Wow! I just saved you, 400 calories on 2 cups of wine. And Pesach programs where people are saving up their calories for the carving stations and the fatty roast beef. So now I just saved you. Instead of wasting it on the cheap $4.99 grape juice, you're gonna have you'll have it for the $16.99 a pound London broil. Okay, so Rabbi Isai, that's an interesting halacha. So Zak, the Beis Halevi, that's the same thing that's going on over here. Mezuzah, normally it takes 30 days to become chayiv mezuzah, but in Eretz Yisrael you're chayiv right away. Why? It says the Gemara, Mishum Yishuv the Eretz Yisrael. Rashi said, nah, that's a trick. We're trying to get you to put mezuzahs early. That'll cause you to stay, and then it'll make you, and even if you leave, because you're already invested in mezuzahs, even if you leave, and you're not supposed to take them down, especially if the guy will pay you for it. But even if you leave, it'll make the apartment, more desirable. The Beis Halevi says, no, nothing about that. No convoluted, traps to keep you here. Hadar mina the Beretz Yisrael chayim miyam mishum yish Beretz Yisrael hakli perusha. This is what it means. The yish Beretz Yisrael came in to have a mitzvah. Since yish Beretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, so in Chutzlars it takes 30 days to become a yoishev, to become a dweller, to become a tenant, to become a resident. But in Eretz Yisrael, Mishumachi gam toish loshem yom chashav kevas. In Eretz Yisrael, since it's a mitzvah to live there, everything becomes a kvius v'loy arai, and not something that's temporary. K'moy de Shabbos kovei alamaiser mishum deika mitzvah b'achila chashav keva. Since there's a mitzvah, it's considered to be a set, a stationary, it's a permanent eating, a permanent dwelling right away because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's the Gevaldik pshat of the Beis Halevi. Fantastic, fantastic. Different pshat than that of Rashi. But this is a general halach. In order to be chayv mezuzah in a rental property, you have 30 days. People know this. They have 30 days to put up your mezuzahs. However, it could be that if we follow the argument of the Mordechai, I believe, that it depends on what you have in mind when you come. With regards to taxes, right? If you have in mind to stay, you're chayv in taxes right away. So Rabbi Chanan says, well, we could apply the same thing with regards to mezuzah. Maybe you only require 30 days if we're not sure if you're going to stay. So you have 30 days to kind of figure out your plans. But if you sign the lease on day one, whoa, you just signaled that you plan to stay here, and maybe you're chayv to put up a mezuzah already on the first day. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. It should depend on this machlokes rishonim. So how can you put it up in the first day? We have a problem of taseh velo min ha'asui. You're not allowed to put up your mezuzah before you become obligated mezuzah. You can't put up the mezuzah before the doorpost. First the mezuzahs have to be there, then the mezuzah. So you have a problem of putting up, the schach before the walls. You can't do that. First the obligation has to descend, and then you have to fulfill the obligation. So it has to be taseh velo min ha'asui. You can't preempt the obligation of the mitzvah with regards to certain mitzvahs. You can't put on the tzitzis before the arba kanfis. So maybe over here also, you can't put up the mezuzah early. That was the chakir of the Minchas Chinuch. So Rav Moshe, even though many disagreed with the Minchas Chinuch, they felt there is no taseh velo min ha'asui unless you're missing something physical, not missing, time elapsing. Here, you're not missing, it's not like you're missing the walls, it's not like you're missing the doorposts or missing the arba kanfis. You have to wait for time to elapse. Maybe that's somewhat different. But either way, Rav Moshe said, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank advised, put it up right away. On day one, take it down on day 30, slide out the scroll, slide back in the scroll on day 30, and then at that point make a bracha. But perhaps there's an even other reason, a second reason, to put up mezuzahs today, even in Chutz La'aretz right away. Not only because you signed the lease and you indicated your intention to stay, but perhaps it's based on another svara, because Rashi writes over here, on the second line of Aleph, why is it in Chutz La'aretz you only have to put in mezuzah after 30 days? Mishum Shema Yachzer Boy, because maybe you'll back out. Maybe you'll back out. That's why it takes 30 days. So many Achrayim say, based on this Rashi, that today, once you sign a lease, since you can't back out, maybe you're obligated to put up a mezuzah right away, because you can't back out. This point is made by a rush. And Mesechta Sefer Dezara on the following halacha. Yeah, the Gemara says over here, Ois Beis. Maskevar Rav Sheisha Bereder of Idi. Schiros mikanya, schiros kaina. What does schiros kaina mean? I mean, who owns the house? Who owns the apartment when you rent it out? The landlord or the renter? Well, obviously the landlord owns part of it, but the renter has usage. But with regards to certain halachas, you know, who's really the bialim? Is it the landlord or is it the renter? And the Gemara assumes schiros loy kanya, that schiros is not kaina. And the owner, the landlord, retains his ownership. Vis-a-vis what halacha? Vis-a-vis what halacha? Vis-a-vis, let's say, the halacha of lo savi soyeva el beisecha. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayeschanan, you're not allowed to bring an idol into your house. I'm sorry to disappoint you. You're not allowed to bring an idol into your house. Lo savi soyeva el beisecha. Yisachem kamoy, right? Well, let's say I rent out my apartment to a religious idolater. And he is going to bring idols into my apartment that I rented out to him. Is that my house and my problem? Or is it his house and his problem? Who owns the house? Vis-a-vis the salak of loisavi soeva obeisecha. So the Mishnah says, later on, by the Zara Chafal from Adalef, af b'makum sha'omru lahaskir, even where we said you can rent properties to non-Jews, you can rent it for storage, like those little storage facilities. You cannot rent a house for residential purposes to an Oved Avodah Zarah. Why? He's going to bring Avodah Zarah into your house. So you see, even though you rented it out to him, it's your problem of Leisavi Soyeva El Beisecha. And if you'll say that the renter is the one who takes ownership of it, what do you mean? He's going to bring Avodah Zarah to the house. It's his house. Why should it concern me? Why should it concern me that the Avodah Zarah is bringing Avodah Zarah into his house? It's his house, not my house. So it must be Schiris Loikanya. Schiris Loikanya means that the landlord retains the ownership rights of the property, not the tenant. So Gemara actually says, no, maybe the tenant's the one in charge, but you shouldn't encourage or aid or abet this, facilitate this Avodah Zarah. So Shani, Avodah Zarah come to Chamira. It's really dramatic terms. So maybe we shouldn't be involved in this at all, even though you're right, Schirus Kanyan, it really becomes the renter's property, right? The tenant's property and not yours. But then the Gemara goes on to quote another statement. Maskevar Rabbi Yitzchak Bered Rav Marshisha V'schirus Mikanya Schirus Kanya. A kain, of course, is allowed to feed his animal truma. A Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma himself, and certainly not allowed to feed it to his animal. Let's say Yisrael rents the animal of the kain, or the kain rents the animal of Yisrael. Can the kain who rented the animal feed a truma? It's not his. Can the Yisrael who rented the kain's animal feed a truma? Because it belongs to the kain. So Kashine, Yisrael, Shasachar Para Mikain, Yisrael rents the cow from the Kain, Yachigana Kashime Truma, he can still feed a Truma. The Kain, Shasachar Para Yisrael, Kain who rents an animal from Yisrael, Afa Pishma Zenis Nara Olov, even though he has to feed the animal, Lo Yachanu Kashine Truma, he shouldn't feed the animal Truma. So you see again that Skiros is Loi Kanya. Shmamina, Skiros Loi Kanya. Because a kain who rents the animal of Yisrael cannot feed a truma. Yisrael who rents the animal of a kain can feed a truma. It depends on the original bayim skin or so kain. And that halacha that we mentioned, though, that you're not allowed to rent a house to a non-Jew who worships Avodah Zarah for residential purposes. Because he's going to bring the Avodah Zarah into your house. We hold Schiros Loi Kanya. It's not because of a Chumra Avodah Zarah. It's because you're not allowed to let him bring Avodah Zarah into your house. So that means if you're a landlord, it means Hashem Bayu, you're a landlord, you own properties, and a guy wants to bring in, you see, he's having a mover come in with a big golden statue with a goat's head and some wings and, whatever it is that he's a totem pole that he's bringing into his house. You're not allowed to let him bring it in. Schiros Loi Kanya. It's your house. How then do we ever rent properties to Avdei Kachavim? There were Jewish landlords. How do we allow this to happen? So the Balei HaTosfos already raised this issue. Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, Chafal from Adalef, asked this. Yesh lefakfek. Ama hoyu soimchem b'nei adam limkor lahaskir batam lo Avdei Kachavim ba'atfo beis dira. We allow non-Jewish tenants to live in our buildings. Mais and b'chol yod. The one who wants to say that it's mutter. Nah, maybe it's because they don't do it often. Only when there's a mace there. Come on. Oh, Shanoit the Lamos, or someone's about to die, then they start bringing in the heebie-jeebie totem poles and, you know, rabbit's feet and all that. But they don't typically do it. And even then, they don't worship. They know they don't have shtibloch in their houses. They bring it in as an omen and a bad, you know, dangerous time. But they don't actually use them in the house for prayer. So that's why it's allowed. For Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen says a different reason. Not because they don't actually worship them and they don't do so on a regular basis. Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen ha'anira lo yitam debechutzar is lo mikri beisecha. Wow. When the pasuk says lo savi sayeval beisecha vayisachem kamayu, that's not talking about in chutzlaritz. It's talking about it only in Eretz Yisrael. Lo mikri beisecha elo baretz. V'kasha batuva. This doesn't make a lot of sense. It is your house in chutzlaritz. You have to put up a mezuzah. Chsavtem a mezuzah is beisecha v'isharecha. It is your house. It is your house. What do you mean it's not your house? You have to put a mezuzah on it. So when it says lo savi sayeval beisecha, how do you know it's only in Eretz Yisrael? Should be in chutzlaritz too. What's going on? Of course it's in Eretz Yisrael. That's a problem with Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen. And then he quotes a third teretz. But, he says, V'lam itami de Rabbeinu Chaim, el atam mefarash al Rebbe Chanam, im nekshar mertog lo sav yisrael v'beisech, l'klamem al osa v'beis ha-yisrael atzma shu dar b'soich ha-boyu de dar boy. Maybe when it says lo sav yisrael v'el beisech, that implies that you live there, even though you own it, even though it is yours, because schirus lo ikanya, and even though someone's renting it, you know, he's dwelling in it, it remains yours. Maybe the Easter is only on the resident, not on the owner. Because it says, Osavi Saeva El Beisecha. So three Terutim and Taisus, how is it that we are allowed to rent properties to have the Kochavim in Chutzlaritz? Either because they don't actually worship where they are and they don't have it in their house on a regular basis, or because this prohibition, Osavi Saeva Beisecha, is limited to a house that you live in actively, not that you know, own passively. Or rent out to others, or Reb Chaim Kohen, that it's only your house in Eretz Yisrael, which is problematic, because of course you have to put up a mezuzah on Chutz La'aretz, just as you do in Eretz Yisrael, Midai Raisa. So what does it mean it's not your house? So Shekhar likes to explain this opinion of Reb Chaim Kohen, that perhaps our houses in Eretz Yisrael are different than the houses in Chutz La'aretz. Based on the Rambam, look at this Rambam. The Rambam writes over here in Avodah Zarah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, that this is another pasuk. This is a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. Of Abay Tabdun, it's called Mekomos Asher Avdu Shama Goyim. You have to actively destroy the places which were worshipped by Avodah Zarah. Why, you know, how was Avram Avinu allowed to destroy the idols of Terach? It's not his. How was he allowed to do that? How was Rachel allowed to steal the Terafim of Lavan? Isn't that Gneva? It's good kasha. You're trying to deal with it. So maybe the answer is, well, you're allowed to destroy Avodah Zarah. You're supposed to destroy Avodah Zarah because the pasuk says, "Abei Tabdun is kol mekamos asher avdu shama goyim." So Rambam says, "Mitzvah say hila abed avodas chachamim shamet umshamshev v'chol anas v'shvila shenemar abei tabdun is kol mekamos v'nemar kiim kois asu lahem." You're supposed to do it. But then the Rambam distinguishes between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Now this mitzvah applies both in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah lirdoif achreha ad shenoy v'roisami kol artzenu. There's a mitzvah to pursue it, to actively investigate it, and to then to seek and destroy. We don't have to go after it to destroy it. When we conquer the town, we should root out the Avodah Zarah. But you don't have to actively search it out. So the mitzvah applies in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael to destroy Avodah Zarah, but in Chutz La'aretz you don't have to pursue it, and Eretz Yisrael you do. Why? If the mitzvah applies equally in both, how could the application be different? So Shechter explained that it could be our residence in Eretz Yisrael has to be a halachic residence. In Chutz La'aretz we understand that things are not going to be ideal. So the standards are different. In Eretz Yisrael, our residence has to be a kosher residence. It has to be a different kind of a residence, a holier residence. And therefore, while it is true that the mitzvah of Lo Savi Saeva Beisecha applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, and therefore it could be that this mitzvah of Lo Savi Saeva Beisecha maybe applies differently in Eretz Yisrael than it does in Chutz La'aretz. So maybe, you know, you're not allowed to bring an idol into your house in Eretz Yisrael, even if you're just the landlord and someone else is renting it, but maybe in Chutz La'aretz that would not apply. Because maybe the standard and the way we define homes in Chutz La'aretz is different than we would in Eretz Yisrael. So vis-a-vis certain halachas, obviously mezuzah, you're obligated in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael equally. But maybe in terms of the holiness of the home, in terms of rooting out of Avodah Zarah, it's kind of understood that in Chutz Laaretz, where we're not in charge as much, and that wasn't the anticipation, that maybe, you don't have to restrict access to the house the same way that you might in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shechter compared it to another Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Sanhedrin, of course, is a mitzvah to establish Dayanim. There's a mitzvah to make courts and bati din. So the Rambam writes, mitzvah sheh shol Torah, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, mitzvah sheh shol Torah, limnoi shoyftim v'shoyftim v'chol medina medina v'chol plach u'plach. Now what's a medina medina? Medina medina means a state or a country. V'chol plach u'plach means every city. So there's the general area, right, the state, and then the cities. Shenema shoyftim v'shoyftim titim v'chol b'chol sharecha. Shoyftim eilu dayanim hakfuim b'beis din. You have to have shoytrim, and shoytrim are the people who judge, right? I guess the judicial branch, and shoytrim are the executive branch, the people who enforce. I'm obviously superimposing an American system on the halachic system. Ours predates it, and is entirely different, but you get the general idea. However, this is in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laaretz, you don't have to do this to the same degree. Says Rama, Einanu chayavim lahamid bote dinim, b'chol plach u'plach, ir v'ir, el b'Eretz Yisrael b'vad. Only in Eretz Yisrael, in every city, in every ezor, in every region. Aval b'chutz laaretz, Einanu chayavim lahamid beis din b'chol plach u'plach, not in every little hamlet and, town. Shneim artitim l'chol b'chol sharecha, asher Hashem l'kecha, noisein l'chol l'shvatecha. The pasuk continues, you need it b'chol sharecha in the place where Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you, not in Chutz Laaretz. But why should there be a difference, right, between Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael in terms of how many judges you need? Don't the dinim of the Torah apply equally in Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael? Aren't there just as many dinei Torah in Chutz Laaretz as in Eretz Yisrael? People get along more in Chutz Laaretz and we need less, but they didn't. I can't believe that that's the case. So why do you need less courts? So Shechter again explained, Avi Ezri has something along these lines of Shach in his commentary on this Rambam, that maybe there's a difference between adjudicating cases and establishing the infrastructure of a halachic town. See, of course, in Chutz Laaretz you have to adjudicate cases, and you need the number of courts that can handle the volume of cases. In Eretz Yisrael, it's more than that. It's more than just adjudicating cases. Part of the structure of the town should include a court, meaning that's a kosher town. Kosher town is one that has city hall. If it doesn't have a court, that's not a halachic town. So, in Chutz Laaretz, you don't need a halachic town. You have to enforce halacha, it's true, but you don't have to have devise the town, like a city building, right? What are those games that used to have about building a Sim City or whatever it is? So, in Eretz Yisrael, part of the infrastructure that has to exist in the town is a town hall and is a beis din. Because it has to be a halachic town. It has to be a halachic house. It has to be a halachic block. In Chutz Laaretz, we don't have that same expectation, so you don't need courts as frequently. So maybe that's what Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen means in Eretz Yisrael. That's a house. There's an Issa Vosavi Soeva Beisech. In Chutz Laaretz, we don't have the same expectation that we can control the flow of traffic in and out of our homes. That's all that within the Tosfos. Tosfos says, again, you're not allowed to bring a Geshken to your house. Schirus loikanya, even though you rented it out, it remains yours. How do we allow Avodah Zarah tenants, Avodah Skokavim, to live in our rental properties? Isn't that a violation? However, the Rush, so Tosfos has three approaches. The Rush, Mesechta Avodah Zarah, is a different approach. Says the Rush over here, Oizvav. It's the same question. How can we rent houses to Hefdi Kerchovim? He's bringing in Avodah Zarah. And even though they only do it towards the end of the life, right, when a person's about to die, Skiris Lekanya. So it's a problem. It's our house, not theirs. Nehidu didan Skiris Lekanya, says the Rosh. Kevan shiad umo is takifo v'dineyem Skiris Lekanya kemecher. In their minds, and in their dinim, it is a permanent transaction. See, why is Skiris Lekanya? Because in the eyes of Chazal, let's say the owner, obviously this is, you couldn't get away with this today. Let's say the owner of an apartment building, has a house, and he doesn't live in the apartment building. His house, Leilenu, explodes. It's flooded by a hurricane. Can he go to his favorite apartment in the building that he owns and kick out the tenant and say, sorry, I don't have a house now, I'm kicking you out, I'm taking my apartment back? And of course you can't do that. But in the eyes of Chazal, you can. You can violate a rental agreement in order to take the property for yourself. So that's why skiris lo kanya, because at any point the skiris could be nullified. But in their eyes, bedinehem, in the dinim of the oivdei kachavim, you know the umas ha'ilam, secular courts, of course you can't do that. So kevin shiyad umas takifa, since they are in charge, ubedinehem skiris lo yom kemecher, if you rent it even for a day, it becomes yours. Right? Af im nofal beis shel masker, and even if the house of the landlord falls down, enu yokolo tzio havi kamecher. So therefore, in our halachas too, vis-a-vis us as well, it becomes like a mecher. And today, even though it wasn't so in the times of the Gemara, schiris loy kanya, in the times of the Gemara, today, schiris kanya. So the Rosh here is saying a gevaldig chiddush. Even though in the times of Gemara, the Bailam was still the landlord and not the tenant, today, since Yadhu Mustakifa Lenu, they're in charge, and in their eyes, the Skiris Liyam is Kamecher, Skir today, Skiris is Kanya, and today the one who owns the house is not the landlord, it's the renter, Yadoi Al Hawayona. He's in charge. That's why we don't have a problem with Savi Soeva Beisecha today, because they own the apartment, not the landlord. Carrying that over to Hilchos Mezuzah, says of Shach and Aviezri and Hilchos Mezuzah. If that's the case with regards to Losavi Soeva Beisecha, that should be the case with regards to Mezuzah as well. Even though a tenant normally has 30 days to put it up, Rashi said, that's because you could back out. Skiris Loikanya. Today, you can't back out. You signed the lease. You can't back out. Today, Skiris Kanya. The owner, the landlord can't kick you out if his house burns down. He has to leave you. He has to let you stay there. So since today, Rabbi says, Skiris Kanya, therefore, you're obligated mezuzah right away. So it seems to me that you're obligated mezuzah right away for a few reasons. The first is because anytime you indicate that you plan to stay, maybe we waive the trial period of 30 days. You become obligated right away. That was the Mordechai and the two Achrenim we had in Pesukei Teshuva last time. 2 days in Pesukei Teshuva, Rosh Shuvah Ochanan quoted. But even more than that, even if just expressing your desire to stay longer is not enough, once we say Skiris Kanya today, right, since you can't back out of the lease, and the whole reason you have to wait the trial period of 30 days is because maybe you'd be chayzer today when you can't be chayzer, maybe you're obligated to put a mezuzah right away. So therefore, the protocol that's advised is to put up the mezuzah right away without a bracha, take it down on day 30, and then put it back up with a bracha. Okay, Rabbi said, but clearly you don't become obligated or part of the city on day one. You become obligated, usually, right, unless you express your intention to stay. But all things being, undefined, it takes 30 days to become a resident of the city and 12 months to become a citizen vis-a-vis taxes. That was a distinction that we drew. But you don't become a part of the city right away under any circumstances. This is a problem with regards to a different halacha in the Gemara Masechtas Megillah over here, Yud Tes Vav, which we're all familiar with. Anybody who spent permanent Eretz Yisrael and a yeshiva outside of Yerushalayim knows this halacha. They usually, of course, the people in walled cities, Mimos Yeshua Benun, the last remaining vestige of which is only Yerushalayim, they lay in the Megillah on the 15th. Everyone else lays the Megillah on the 14th. On the 14th. What if you travel from place to place? So it depends where you're going to be on Purim. If you're going to be on Purim in Yerushalayim, you follow the Minig of Yerushalayim. If you're going to be on Purim outside of Yerushalayim, you follow the Minig outside of Yerushalayim. That's assuming you stay put throughout Purim, both the 14th and the 15th. What if you travel from Yerushalayim to outside Yerushalayim on the 14th, then go back to Yerushalayim on the 15th, or you travel from outside Yerushalayim on the 14th into Yerushalayim on the 15th, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. Yeah, we'll have a shiur about that come Purim time. But the Maisa, we know that the halacha is, depends where you are on Purim. And you have to be there for 30 days? No. Do you have to be there for 12 months? No. Depends where you are on that day, says the Gemara, Masechtas Megillah. Ben ir shalach l'krach, u ben krach shalach l'ir. If you're going to come back into your place on the day of Purim, you read like the place of your place. And if not, you read like the place where you are now. Depends where you are on Purim. So, fine, it depends where you are on the night of the 14th. That's your halacha for the rest of Purim. But it's only that day. How do we know this halacha? Because the pasuk says in Megillah, the people from the Arei HaPrazim that are living in the cities of the Prazois, implies that it depends where you live. If it says Yehudim HaPrazim, they live in the Prazim, why does it have to say Hayoishvim be Arei HaPrazos, who are dwelling in the places of the Prazos? Hakamash, one of the Paras, Ben Yama Nikra Paras. If you're only there for one day, you're called the Ben Paras. Ashram Paras, that's true with unwalled cities. Mukaf, I don't know if it's a walled city, you also acquire that status after one day. Svarahu, it makes sense. Me the Paras Ben Yama Kari Paras, Mukaf Ben Yama Kari Mukaf. You're there for one day, you take on the status of that city for that day. Kari, yeah? So the Turei Evan asks, that's the Shagas Ari's commentary, and the Gemara Masechtas Megillah asks, why is this different than taxes? Why is this different than Irani Dachas takes 30 days. Taxes takes 12 months. Nothing takes one day. How can we get away with this over here? Maybe the Pasuk that says, Al-Kena Yehudim HaParazim HaYoshim HaRei HaParazos, the people are living in the unwalled cities, who dwell in the unwalled cities, is not coming to tell me that it's enough if it's one day. How do you know it's coming to teach me one day you're there, it's good enough? Maybe what it means is if you're there for 30 days, it's good enough as opposed to 12 months. Maybe that's what it meant, right? To be a yoshiv, to be a resident, usually takes 30 days. So that's the kasha. Tori Evan asks, kashuli the adaraba, yoshiv, barei aprozes, la paras ben yom b'mashma. That doesn't imply that you're there for one day, because I mean, in the parakam, the baba basar, chamas, v'chamas, 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 if you're there in the Irani Dachas for a short period of time, you worship the Zara together with them, im nishtashim lamid yoim, hein besai, v'manim oven. If he's there for 30 days, he becomes part of the collective guilt of the Irani Dachas. Mefarish time, mishim the yeshivas masul, mikri pachas min lamid yoim. It takes 30 days to become a yoishiv, to become a resident. V'gabi Irani Dachas, yoishve ha'ir ksiv. It says, the people who dwell in the city. It takes 30 days to become a dweller. If it says, I don't want to benefit from the people, the citizens of the city, it takes 12 months to be included. But if he says, then it's 30 days. So therefore, says the Torah, Yevon, Hakinami, Neima, why don't we say Hayoshim Babay Razos Koshin Shashim Lamid Yom Dafka B'mashma? Maybe it has to be there for 30 days. If Allah Paras Ben Yomon, not if he's just there for one day. And that's why it says Hayoshim Babay Razos 30 days as opposed to 12 months. 30 days as opposed to 12 months. How do you know it means even one day? That's the kasha of the Turei Evan. So Bar said the Chasam Sofer has a teretz over here. Chasam Sofer has a teretz over here. And it ties into people who visit Eretz Yisrael for one day, in and out. Says the Chasam Sofer, see, Yoishve Ha'ir implies residents of the city. Yoishve Ba'ir implies even an alien in the city. What we would call like an illegal. You're not even, forget about being a citizen. A resident is even, right, a green card holder, but you're a legal resident. But even less than that is a person who just happens to be in the city, legally or illegally, permanent or not permanent. Just means you're there. Even if you're just sitting there, ben yoma, for one day, you're called dwelling inside of it. But this is to be contrasted. If you leave for a day, you lost your status as a Yoishev Ba'ir. Bain Balaila Hayo Bain Laila Hayo Bain Laila Ovet. Today it was here, tomorrow it's gone. Masha Inkin Yoishev Ba'ir. If a person is a resident of the city, who shame Toyar? That's a descriptive term. Shume Oisama Miyash Vimesir Vigarman La Yishuv. He's one of the people who settles the city. Oh, you tour Bazeh Hashem. That takes 30 days to acquire. Vachain La Yikra Ben Ha'ir Ba'ir Loi Im. V'hu la'bein, right? I guess you have to be a son of it, right? Ben ha'ir. Elim kein yiyah shama yud beis chodesh. But if you want to be a ben ha'ir, you want to be a citizen of the city, that takes 12 months. That takes 12 months. So let's look at the language that's used over here. With regards to Irani Dachas, it says yoyishev ha'ir, not ben ha'ir. So yoyishve ha'ir is residents, not citizens. That's 30 days. What does it say with regards to Megillah, though? There the Pasuk says, Hayoishvim Ba'orei HaPerazos. Doesn't say they are Yoishvei Ha'arei HaProzos, that means a resident that takes 30 days to acquire, they're Yoishvin Ba'arei HaProzos, they happen to be in the Arei HaProzos. So there's a difference in the terminology that's used. And therefore, the terminology has, you know, carries weight. And therefore, over here, in order to be a Yoishev Be'ir, that's enough if it's just one day. So there's a distinction in the terms that are used. Yoishev Ha'ir, right, citizen, resident, versus just, I guess, dweller, right? You're not a resident, really. But you just happen to be here. I guess we'd call that, right, you know, a resident alien. He's here. Doesn't really belong here, but he's here. So that's enough to be called Yoshev Ba'ir as opposed to Yoshev Ha'ir. Then the Chassam Sefer continues. Everybody say, hear the Torah? Chassam Sefer continues, though. The Yofa Diktiku Chazal B'Gmar Ksubis Kofiraf Amidav Kohadar Be'eretz Yisrael Shari B'Lo Oven. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you live without sin. So if you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you have no averus. Chazal were careful to say, if you live, you reside in Eretz Yisrael, you have to move there. At least you have to be Yoishvei Ha'ir, not just passing through. Like a person who's a tourist. Who's passing through? So you have to be if not a citizen, at least kind of a more permanent resident. What is the halacha though? If a person passes through Eretz Yisrael, does he have to be there vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz? Does he have to be there for 12 months? This is vis-a-vis the Gemara and Ksubis, right? You know, Kohadar of Eretz Yisrael. Whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael gets no averus. There's another Gemara and Ksubis over here, Oysir Aleph. You walk 4 amos in Eretz Yisrael. So some Sefer says you're right. There's many madregas here. There's dargas yesh. You want a mechilas avoynis? You want to become a ben olam haba? It's enough if you walk 4 amos. You just walk 4 amos through. That's good enough. You want to remove your averus? You got to be kind of a more permanent resident, maybe 30 days. What about to fulfill the mitzvah of yishuv arts of irashim oisav yishavtim ba? Pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan. How long does it take to fulfill the mitzvah of yishuv arts? How long does it take to fulfill the mitzvah? Can I fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz just by buying property? Big thing during the Shnas HaShemitah. They were selling 4 amos of Eretz Yisrael to fulfill Shnas HaShemitah. Can you fulfill Yishuv Haaretz by buying property? So the Piskei Tshuva over here, Piskei Tshuva is not the common, the modern sefer Piskei Tshuvos. This is a separate little sefer. I have it over here. Called Piskei Tshuva. Where's my copy? Piskei Tshuva. So there's that show and tell. And a little sefer Piskei Tshuva, little teeny weeny little sefer. It only comes in a minimum size. I don't know why. So the sefer Piskei Tshuva, he has the following distinction. It says, if you buy an apartment from a non-Jew, then you're settling the land. That's like conquering the land. In East Jerusalem, Sheikh Jarrah, you buy a property. That's fulfilling Yishuv Haaretz. If you buy a property off someone else's hands in Katamon, a German colony from Mape Chemish, I bought it from a Rebbe. That's not Yishuv Haaretz. There was a Jew living there before. So you haven't settled the land more. You bought real estate. That's nice for you. But if you don't come and live there and participate in the economy, that's not called Yishuv Haaretz. Says the Piskei Tshuva, Nira Dafilam Hudar, Atmo Dar Bachot Zaretz, Vakana Sado Bais, Bar Yisema Kaim Bezek Sas HaMitzvah. It's a little bit of a mitzvah. Goyim Shetisi Yishuv Haaretz, because you're causing the land to become settled. Or if I build a caravan somewhere in the Golan, great. If you buy a property in Eretz Yisrael, fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. But, he says, Hinei Yisrael HaKoyin Yisado buys me Yisrael, I buy from another Jew, near Deinu Makayim Bezeh HaKniya, a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. That's not a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. So if I buy a piece of 4 amas from a Jewish farmer, that's not Yishuv Haaretz. No. You buy it from a non-Jew, okay, maybe that's Yishuv Haaretz, but not from a Jew. No. What about if I walk, though? Let's say I visit Eretz Yisrael. Walking, you at least get a Ben Olam Haba. You're there for 30 days, maybe you get Shari B'Layavim. What about the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz? Let's say I'm there on a trip for a week. Do I get Yishuv Haaretz? What if I'm there for 30 days? Do I have to be there for 12 months in order to fulfill Yishuv Haaretz? I guess we'll have to finish this up next time. It's a very interesting discussion, actually, in the Piskei Tshuva. Look at different makaris over here. And then we have to see the most important... What a fantastic little Mar Malkum over here in our Siga, which opens up a whole can of worms, which is the Marami Rutenberg has a tshuva based on our Siga. We're paying taxes that really has a lot to do with a lot of different inyanim, which we'll have to get involved in the Maharam Rutenberg with carpools and all, you know, kind of collective responsibility issues. So we'll have to get involved in the Maharam Rutenberg. All right, Rabbi Sai, Shkoyah Shkoyah. Sorry for the Zoom.